Thank you very much. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Let's get started. Amen.
I've sat where you're sitting, and it doesn't matter how long you cheer and clap, you still end up in class at 1 o'clock. I mean, so I appreciate it, but it seems like sometimes I always felt like maybe it would help us, but thank you for that. I appreciate that. That means the world. There's just no place like this place, anywhere near this place. So this must be the place. Amen. Amen. I love this place. I thank God that the Lord allowed me to be here. Started in 92, graduated in 96. And God must have known that I was going to need some support today, because I'm as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs, I'll tell you. But God's given me some support this morning. I appreciate it. It's what an honor to have our good friends, Brother Elton, Miss Barbara Mock. They have been such an encouragement to me, and even when I was a student here, Miss Mock would make rally runs for us on Sunday, and we'd be working there at the church and getting our buses ready, and she'd go pick us up some hamburgers. I appreciate that. So good to have them. Love them. And good to have my youth director, Brother Dalton Dickerson, with us, and Miss Gwen, and boy, Brother Dalton's a blessing. He's homegrown boy from Shelbyville, and so thankful that God allowed him to come back to Victory. He's done a wonderful job, excellent job, and I thank God for him, and he's come up. He didn't come up to hear me preach, by the way. He came up for John Middleton's wedding, but I'm glad he showed up today, and appreciate that support, Brother Dalton. And Brother Kevin Gerber, hallelujah, good to have you here. God knew I'd need your support too, brother, so thank you for being here. God bless you. And, of course, I'm glad to have my family. Even heard there's some Tennessee people down here. Hallelujah. You know, Tennessee's the place to be, and except for Hiles Anderson College. Amen. So God bless you. Good to see you here. We got to take up for us for each other. When I was up here, believe it or not, when I was here, I was the only guy. Steve Shook was, but he had just transferred over from North Carolina, so he wasn't quite Tennessean. I was the only Tennessee guy here for quite a while, and so praise the Lord. I'm glad to have some Tennessee people up here. I just want to take a moment, you know, and what I've got to make sure I don't do, and I've told myself 100 times, Brother Francis, anytime my wife and I come back, it just floods us with wonderful memories. Yes, there was hard times. Yes, we were wore out and tired, and yes, you know, there's those times. I'm going to tell you, that's what makes you who you'll be later in life. It makes you into the man of God that you need to be, or the lady that God's going to use. But we have wonderful memories here. And so I've told myself to make sure that I do not just get into memory lane and waste my time, because I do believe God's given me a message that'll be a blessing to you. I think it'll help you long after your days here. I certainly hope so. Also want to say it's good to have my niece, Lindsay, got up here and sang. I got choked up here seeing her sing. What a blessing. And I've got 2 nephews around here somewhere, Eric and William Hoxie, and good to have them. I'm glad they're up here. And of course, Isaac Lucas came up here from our church, and I think he's sitting back there, Brother Dalton. I appreciate Isaac. But praise God. Just a couple of shout-outs. Glad to have my son, David, who is in his junior year, and my son Timothy, who just graduated. Now, I went through those names because every one of them, I know what they're thinking. They're saying, oh, I hope he doesn't embarrass us. Oh, I hope go ahead, amen, yeah, I understand. I'm not going to do it. Everything in me wants to do that. I have so many things to say, but I only got a short amount of time, And so I know, hey, you're safe. Don't worry, kids. You're safe. See me after chapel. I'll load you up with a lot of stuff. But amen. I'm so proud of my boys, Timothy and David, who Timothy's up here still and serving at City Baptist. And And praise God. I will say this, gentlemen, miracles can occur. Timothy got a wonderful wife. So you've got hope. There is hope. Amen. Carol Ann, we sure love you and thank God for you. And David, so proud of you. So anyway, I'm going to get going. Like I said, I could go on and on. Turn with me to Proverbs 20 and verse 6. Let me say this to the staff and the faculty. I owe you so much. This place gave me so much. And you don't get, some of you don't understand yet. I didn't. Hey, listen, when I sat there, I did not appreciate what I was being given. I didn't. I was just looking for the next laugh. I was looking for the next. I was wanting to see souls saved. I wanted to build my bus route. But I could not appreciate what the people of God here at First Baptist and Hiles Anderson College were doing for me and the sacrifice that they made to make this place possible. I thank God that I had the experience that I have here. It has helped to shape me and make me into what I need to be in order to do what God wants me to do, and it will you too. Whether you go into what we like to call full-time Christian ministry or not, God will use what you're doing here to help you serve Him, I promise you. And I'm thankful that you're here. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6, and I just say thanks, faculty. I owe you so much. I love you, and I thank God for you and all you've done. And so many people that did so much in order to be a blessing to me and so many others. Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Now, the title of the message is, and I believe this will bless you no matter what God does with you in the future, but not everyone can be outstanding, but everyone can be upstanding. Not everyone can be outstanding, but everyone can be upstanding. I'll explain that here in a moment. Father, I need your wisdom. I have nothing to offer unless you speak through me. We'll waste our time unless you're here. I pray that you'll have your way and that your word will be spoken. And when we leave, I pray that everyone will be helped and that they'll know they heard from you. This message is from you. I'm just the newspaper boy that's trying to deliver it the best I can. Please help me now, Father. I need you desperately. I pray that you'll speak through me. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Definition of outstanding, and this will explain why the title. The definition of outstanding means clearly noticeable. Clearly noticeable. Now, I know that you've probably been told by your pastor and others, hey, they're an outstanding young person. And I understand that statement, and I've used it. You may say, that's an outstanding bus worker there, an outstanding college student. And I understand that, but I want to look at that statement by its direct definition, clearly noticeable. Someone who stands out from the crowd. Someone who takes the lead, a person who is well known. Outstanding. And that's what I mean by that term, outstanding. Now let's look at the word upstanding. The definition of the word upstanding means honest, respectable, good, upright, and righteous. Now when we look at the definition of outstanding, the truth of the matter is very few of us will be considered outstanding in this world. Very few of us will be taking the lead. Very few of us will be known by a large group of people. Very few of us will have that experience. Very few of us would be what the world would call outstanding. But every one of us can be upstanding. Everybody in here can be upstanding. Someone who can be counted on to do right. Someone who you can trust to get the job done. A person who is not seeking notoriety, but seeking Christ. You know, when it comes to outstanding people, few names are noted in history. Very few people are found in the history books, considering how many people have been born. Very few people are considered outstanding by the world. Let me stop for just a second, because in God's work, in order to be outstanding in God's work, you're going to have to be upstanding. So today I'm not doing one or the other. You're either outstanding or upstanding. If you're going to be used by God, and maybe someday you will be an outstanding person, a name that people recognize, a name that a lot of people love and know, if you're going to be that person, you're going to have to be upstanding. But the truth is, most of us will never be that person. Most of us. Dr. Jack Hiles was an outstanding man. There are few people that, few churches. I come from the South. I'm independent, fundamental Baptist, and thank God for it. But I'll tell you what, I know a lot of Southern Baptist preachers in our area that have been influenced by Dr. Hiles. Some of them don't want to admit it, but they have. You know, he was an outstanding man that influenced a lot of people, and he was definitely upstanding, but few of us are going to get there. Let's just be honest. Few of us will make that kind of an impact. You may be considered outstanding in your field, or you may even be given a lead position here or there. But when people begin to talk about those who stand out, most of us will be left out. Most of us are not going to be that name that everyone remembers. Few people will be considered outstanding, but I'm going to tell you something, child of God. Everybody in here can be upstanding. Everybody can. I want to give us an example in the Bible that we find of two men. One was outstanding, and he was definitely upstanding too. But the other was just upstanding. I want us to look at Peter and Andrew. They're biblical examples that illustrate the truth that I hope to convey today. One was outstanding, the other upstanding. Although only one had the opportunity to be outstanding, both men were definitely upstanding. Peter was outstanding, no doubt about it, while Andrew was not. If you read your Bible again and again, you'll find that Andrew was most often known as Peter's brother. How many of you, you came to college, for at least the first couple months, you were known as somebody's brother or sister? How many of you had that experience? Yeah, you're second, you know, the second in the list. I know David went through that. My wife went through that. When she came to college, everyone knew her as Eric Bowman's sister. And I didn't have that because I was the first one to ever come here from my church, and I was the oldest, so nobody knew who I was. Still don't. Praise God for that. That can be a good thing, by the way. I'll explain that in just a moment. But Andrew was known constantly as Peter's brother. We find in Matthew 4:18, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother. We find in Mark 10:2, now the names of the 12 apostles. Here it is. We know Andrew was one of the 12 apostles, right? So Andrew's going to have his name listed right in there with all the rest. And look how he's listed. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first. Simon, oh, we know him, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother. He's always connected with his brother. Andrew was definitely not someone that was outstanding, but he will find was upstanding. Most of us don't like to be known by someone else, but that happens. That's going to happen. Andrew must have been, I think he was a behind-the-scenes type of guy. He was a type of guy, I believe, on the authority of the Word of God, he was a behind-the-scenes guy. Did you know that Peter's name is mentioned 156 times in your Bible? Oh, yeah, we all know stories about Peter. Hey, we all know about the Apostle Peter, but I'll tell you, 156 times, did you know Andrew's name is only mentioned 13 times? And out of those 13 times, it's directly connected with Peter's brother. Yes, Andrew, he was always in the shadow. He was always behind his brother Peter. Peter did most of the talking. If you've studied your Bible, you know Peter was always the first one to speak up. I believe he was probably, Jesus Christ being the leader of the disciples, probably next in line to lead the disciples, I think we could agree would have been Peter. They always looked to him. It was always Peter taking the lead. He was definitely outstanding even among the 12 disciples. Andrew has only 32, listen to this, we can't record all of Peter's words, it'd take forever. But Andrew only has 32 of his words recorded in the Word of God. These are found in two verses. They're found in John 6:9 and John chapter 1, verse 41. However, 11 of the words that Peter has recorded in the Bible changed his, I'm sorry, Andrew. 11 of the words, Andrew has 13 words, 11 of the words that Andrew has recorded in the Bible changed his and Peter's life forever. We're going to learn something about a man who was upstanding. Can you think of anything that Andrew did? You can give me a lot of stories about what Peter did. Oh, he walked on the water. Yes, he did. Oh, the things he cut the servant of the high priest's ear off. Yes, he did. What did Andrew do? Crickets. We can't think of anything that Andrew did. But there are a few things. I think we can find a couple of things about Andrew as we look in the Bible. Peter was definitely outstanding. Andrew was definitely not. So what can we learn from Andrew? What can we gather from this truth? Although no one would say that Andrew was outstanding, there is no doubt. Now listen to this. Because most of us, most of you, are going to live a life like Andrew. There's no doubt. Although we would not say that Andrew was outstanding, there's no doubt that he was right where God wanted him to be. Doing exactly what God wanted him to do. although very few people even know what he did. Yes, that was Andrew. Andrew was busy working behind the scenes. If you'll turn with me to John chapter 6 and verse 8. Let's turn there, please. John chapter 6 and verse 8. It says this. We have one story about Andrew. And one of his disciples, Andrew, here it is again, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. But what are they among so many? One of the first things we hear about Andrew is, of course, you all are familiar with the feeding of the 5,000 and how God takes the lunch of this young man. And, of course, we tell the story in Sunday school, especially to children, how that young man presented his meal and he gave his meal. But I'll tell you, you can read the account in the Gospels and you'll never find where that young man came to Jesus and said, I have a meal. Here, would you use it? But what you do find is that Andrew found this young man and asked him, would you give your meal to Jesus? Yes, the young man gave it. We don't know his name. But I'll tell you who facilitated the whole story was Andrew. What happens here? Andrew finds out that people are hungry, and Jesus said, hey, let's feed these folks. And the disciples say, hey, we don't have enough money to feed all these people. And Andrew says, hey, I'll get on it. I'll figure out something. I'll go start asking if anyone's got any food. Andrew was a behind-the-scenes guy, and he immediately saw a need, and he immediately sought to try to fill it. And I believe it was Andrew that found the young man and talked to him about giving his meal to the Lord. When Andrew knew Jesus had a need, he got busy trying to fill it. Most of you are going to fill that place wherever you go in life. If you are in what we like to call full-time Christian work, where you get a check from a ministry, or if you are a faithful layman in a church, you can be like Andrew. Always looking, hey, there's a need. Preacher needs something. Ministry needs something. Here comes the offering plate again for that missionary or another missionary. How can I help? That's what Andrew did. He saw a need, and he got in there, and he's tried to fill it. He wasn't concerned with getting his name known. He was just concerned with getting the job done. You know, I believe not only that Andrew was a behind-the-scenes kind of guy, I believe he was also a go-to guy, a go-to guy. There are men here on this campus, and ladies, they're the go-to people. If Dr. Wilkerson needs something done, he knows who to go to, and they'll get it done for him. I believe Andrew is that kind of guy. Look with me in John chapter 12. In John chapter 12 and verse 20, we'll look over there. John 12, 20, it says, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. And some came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. They find, I picture it this way, they find the first disciple they saw. It happened to be Philip. And they said, hey, we want to see Jesus. What does Philip do? And in verse 22, Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. Why didn't Philip go straight to Jesus? Because Philip knew Andrew was the guy he needed to talk to first. Philip knew Andrew was a go-to guy, and he says, hey, there's some people wanting to see Jesus. What do you think, Andrew? Is this good? Is he busy? Should we take him to him? And Andrew then takes them to Jesus. I believe he was a go-to guy. I believe he was a guy that was behind the scenes getting the work done, and when the other disciples needed an answer that wasn't quite as passionate as what Peter might deliver, they went to Andrew, and Andrew knew what was going on, and Andrew knew what had to happen. And he got it done. By the way, Andrew was not afraid to go to Jesus. Praise the Lord. He wasn't afraid. Philip had his reservations. Andrew didn't. Andrew said, oh, yes, Jesus will see them. Jesus will talk to them. So he must have had a real close relationship with the Savior. So what do we find out about this guy that was not upstanding? If people were to list the disciples, you don't start with Andrew. No. He's usually second because we sort of have that almost poetic Peter, Andrew, James, and John. They just sort of go easy together. But I'll tell you something, he's not one that stands out, but he was one that was definitely upstanding. He was a behind-the-scenes worker. He was a guy that you could go to and get the job done. That's the kind of man that Andrew was. And I'm going to tell you something that I love. Peter could have never been outstanding had Andrew not been upstanding. Now listen to me, this will help you as you go out to do whatever it is you'll do in the future. Peter could not have been outstanding had Andrew not been upstanding. Look with me in John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 40. Peter owed Andrew big time. Big time, huge. In John chapter 1, verse 40, it says, "One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said," and you have the rest of the story. Peter would have never been saved. Peter would have never been the outstanding disciple that he was without Andrew. Andrew was the man that brought Peter to Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. Whatever God uses you to do someday, it could be that your converts will outshine you someday. It could be that your children will outshine you someday. That's what I pray for my children. I have four of them. I pray that all four of them do better than I could have ever hoped to do. I pray that all four of them outdo me in so many ways. Hey, listen, Andrew brought Peter to Jesus, and without Andrew, we would have never heard about the Apostle Peter. We find that Andrew was an upstanding person. I think of the story. Of course, we're not far from Chicago, and that's where we do our ministry work. You do your ministry work, and you know the story of D.L. Moody. You also probably know the story about a man by the name of Ed Kimball. Ed Kimball was, I believe, a shoe salesman or worked in a shoe store, and he was a Sunday school teacher, and he was the one that led D.L. Moody to Christ. You know, we don't hear that name. We know about D.L. Moody. He was outstanding. But thank God for a man by the name of Kimball that was upstanding. I'm going to tell you something, young people. Listen to me. The reason that Hiles Anderson College and First Baptist Church is such a phenomenal place is thank the Lord for the outstanding people like Dr. Wilkerson, like Dr. Hiles, and they're upstanding as well, or they'd never have been outstanding. But I'll tell you what makes those men greater, the upstanding people behind them, the people that get in and support them. You know why a bus captain can do well? It's because he's got some good bus workers. Every bus captain knows that. That's why they're always asked, hey, join my route, help me out, because they know they need you. We need some upstanding people today. I'll tell you something, too. Upstanding people are soul winners. Upstanding people are soul winners. They get the gospel out. If you're not outstanding, don't worry, because don't become bitter. Don't become jealous. That's what happens. I'm doing all the work. He gets all the glory. He gets to get up there in front of everybody, and I've never been up on the platform, and no one has ever said my name. And upstanding people, we have to be careful, because we can become very jealous. We can become very bitter. Why don't anybody ever honor me and give me some glory? Hey, let me warn you about that. You may not want to be outstanding. You may not want to. Do you find any, you never find anywhere where Andrew is jealous of Peter. Never in the Bible. No. He's perfectly fine with being known as Peter's brother. Andrew played second fiddle to Peter. Peter's name 156 times, Andrew's 13. Peter was an outspoken leader while Andrew was a quiet laborer. Andrew could have said, I found Christ first, Peter. You're getting all the glory. You're getting all the notice. You wouldn't even be saved today if it weren't for me, but you don't find that from Peter. I'm sorry, from Andrew. God doesn't need many outstanding people, but he's got to have a lot of upstanding people. Let me ask you something. What if all of the disciples were like Peter? What a mess that would be. Goodness, he was always the first one to open his mouth and insert foot. The Apostle Peter was well known for saying the dumb things. You remember when they're on the Mount of Transfiguration and he says, hey, why don't we build an altar to you and to Moses, and we'll build three altars, and the Bible says because he didn't know what to say. So he had to say something. You know, Peter was very outspoken. And what if all the disciples were like that? It wouldn't have worked, would it? Boy, could you imagine in the Garden of Gethsemane? Peter was the one that drew the sword and cut that guy's ear off. He wasn't aiming for his ear. He's aiming for the middle of his head. What if all the disciples grabbed their sword and started hacking away? I don't know what would have ended up happening, but honestly, only Peter did. What if all the disciples were as passionate as Peter? What if all the disciples wanted to lead? I don't think there would have been 12. I think it would have been a constant church split. It would have been a constant division. Don't be jealous of outstanding people. Being outstanding, and this is why I made that statement a moment ago, being outstanding carries with it some heavy responsibilities. Being outstanding does. As you read about Peter, about Andrew, we don't hear a lot about him, but do you hear about any of his failures? Do we know about what Peter did? What Andrew did? Do we know what he did or how he messed up? We don't. But oh, do we know about Peter? Oh, do we know about the Apostle Peter? Oh, we know all of his mistakes. We hear about all of his shortcomings. Peter was responsible for causing all the other disciples to stray shortly after the crucifixion. When they were wondering what to do, what does Apostle Peter say? He says, I go fishing. I'm done with this. And they followed him. We know about that. Peter was specifically, and here's another thing, listen to me, young people. Oh, I wish I could be up there. I wish I could be a big leader. I wish I could be in the place like Dr. Wilkerson. Hang on. Because Peter was so outstanding, he was a big target for the devil. What did Jesus? He didn't go to all the disciples. He didn't say, Andrew, the devil, Satan wants to sift you like wheat. No, he went to the Apostle Peter. Because when you become outstanding, you become a target for the devil to shoot at. Your family becomes a target, and the devil comes after you unlike anyone else. It was Peter, listen to this, it was Peter that Jesus looked at and said, get behind me, Satan. That's some pretty rough language, isn't it? That's a pretty rough accusation when Peter said, no, Lord, you're not going to die. And the Lord looked at him and he said, get behind me, Satan. It wasn't Andrew that faced off against the Lord like that. You know, there's a lot to be learned there. I'm so thankful that Peter continued and didn't get bitter after that. Sometimes people say things, so I quit. I can't believe he said that to me. The Apostle Peter didn't quit. There's something to learn about that. Peter had all his failures recorded and everyone to read. So instead of criticizing those who are outstanding, we need to pray for them. Instead of trying to tear them down because they get all the notoriety, everybody knows their name, you don't understand the pressure they're under. You don't understand what they're going through. For many years, I was assistant pastor at our church, one of the greatest men of God that I know, and that's my pastor, Dr. Jim Tedder. He pastored our church for 58 and a half years. Our church is the only church that he ever pastored, and he's the only pastor that we ever had until I became pastor. And I'm going to tell you something. I sometimes would like to go back to that, brother. Sometimes now as pastor, I look back and I think, boy, I had it easy back then. You know, when things got rough, I could say, well, that's a good question. Let's go talk to pastor about it. Now they come to me and they say, what do you think? I go, well, that's a good question. I got to make a decision. I'm going to tell you, before we're so eager to become outstanding, we better work on being upstanding. God does not require you to be outstanding, child of God. He doesn't. God does not require you to be outstanding in your field, but He does require you to be upstanding. God wants you to be upstanding. There are people, listen to me, there are people who need you. There are people who will follow you, and there are people who will love you, and the only way that you'll get to that point is by being upstanding as the Lord has asked. You may not be called to get up before a crowd and speak, and there is no pressure from God, listen, to win first place or to be well known. There's no pressure from God to be in the top 10. I heard this statement just in class the other day that Dr. Wilkerson makes, and Brother Jesse Dominguez made the statement. I don't think I got it down exactly, but I believe the statement was something like this. God doesn't expect you to impress anyone, but He just wants you to please your Savior. And you know, that's the truth. And that'll take a lot of pressure off of you. God does not look at you and say you have to be outstanding, but I am going to tell you one thing. God does look at you and say you better be upstanding. You can be upstanding. There's no excuse for not being upstanding. There's no excuse for not doing and living and being what God expects us. Let's go back to the definition of upstanding. To be upstanding means to be honest. It means to be respectable. It means to be good and upright and righteous. You know, everyone can do that. I remember when I came here as a student, and I remember Dr. Hiles making this statement. He said, if you can't be anything else, you can be loyal. I like that. He told us on my freshman year, he said, I want you, the first time we met in here, my freshman year, and the first time I got to hear him in here, he made this statement. He says, you need to go back and contact your pastor and tell him how much you love him. Tell him that you enjoyed the preaching here, but it's not as good as his preaching. that you enjoy the meals, but it's not as good as mom's, and you let your family know. You know what that is? Just a little bit of loyalty that he was teaching to us. Everybody can be upstanding. Anyone can be faithful. Proverbs 26 says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? 2 Timothy 2:2 says, and the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So I just want to leave you with this thought. Listen, I don't know how many of you will be outstanding someday. Someday I may hear your name and go, oh yeah, that's one of the leaders of fundamentalism. That's boy, I know him. Boy, he's a great preacher, incredible church. Or maybe I don't recognize your name. But it doesn't matter because you can be an upstanding person. And I'll tell you something. I like football. We were talking about it just a little while ago with one of my sons. And I like to watch football. But a typical football team can field or have as many as 80 players. As many as 80 players. Do you know what that means? That means with a football team that there's 79 people that are working to make one quarterback be outstanding. Everybody knows the name of their team's quarterback, but they don't know the names of those linemen, those defensive ends. Few people know the name of the kicker. But I'll tell you what, that quarterback is never outstanding without 79 other players being upstanding, getting the job done. That's where most of us will be. That's where most of us will spend our life, being that support group for an outstanding man of God, an outstanding person. Hey, be okay with that. Andrew was okay with that. And he was one of the disciples. And his name is mentioned in the Bible. And I thank God for it. Most of you will spend most of your time in a ministry in the background, not being known by very many people. But I'll tell you this. If you stay faithful and you continue to be upstanding, someday you may be outstanding. For 25 years, 24 years, 24 and a half, I got to be the assistant pastor to one of the greatest men on earth, my pastor. He came to me many times during that time and said, Lord, what do you think? If something happens to me, would you consider the pastorate? I didn't want it. My wife attests to that. My family will. The people who know me will say that. I didn't want to be pastor. I really didn't. I told my pastor again and again, I said, all I know is that God's called me to be your assistant. We're going to go up in the rapture together. We're not going to have to make that decision. But we didn't get that opportunity. God made the decision. Now I get to be in a place that never really saw. But I thank the Lord that God knows what's best. And listen to me, young people. All you've got to do is be upstanding. All you got to do is be honest. Be godly. Do what's right. Find your place and work hard. And whether your name is ever well known or not, you will be a great person that God will use in a great way. Dear Father, I thank you. And I ask you now that you'll help a student body here to be set on being upstanding people, doing the work that you've called them to do. Dear God, we need them. We need them. Without them, without upstanding folks, no church will make it. No church will exist. No ministry. This college cannot exist without upstanding people. I thank you for the upstanding people, dear God, that's made a change in my life. It invested so much in me at a time that I didn't appreciate it or understand it. But because they did, I experienced the blessings of serving you and living for you. I thank you for their example. I thank you for the staff and faculty here. I thank you for Dr. Hiles, Dr. Wilkerson. I thank you for the people that invested their lives in me and now in my children. And I ask you that you'll help each one of us to do the same in others. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for loving us. And we ask this in your name, we pray.